In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 465. In whose presence do the laws of the Church require a Catholic to be married? The answer is in the presence of the parish priest, or the bishop of the diocese, or a priest delegated by either of them, and before two witnesses. So you have in a drawing there a priest in church witnessing the marriage of two Catholics, but not going to a justice of the peace. For Catholic marriage, then, there must be a priest and two witnesses. No priest equals no marriage. And some Catholics attempt to get married by a justice of the peace. It is a civil marriage, but not a real marriage. It is, in fact, a mortal sin. In so-called marriages before a justice of the peace, even if only one party is a Catholic, there is no marriage. God will not forgive him unless he gives up his sin and is married by a priest. If this is impossible, then the couple ordinarily must separate, even if they have children, since they are not really married and cannot keep on living in sin. The man must support the children, but he cannot live with the woman, since she is not really his wife. So the priest, if you will, in this case, is an official witness of the Church. He doesn't really do the marriage, it's the couple. They are the ministers of the sacrament, and they are the minister. They confect the sacrament by the exchange of vows. It doesn't have to be a priest, as the Catechism says, it can be by a bishop, but we could add to this, it can also be by a deacon. Say, in many churches, a permanent deacon does this. And in some cases, it can even be a layman who is delegated by the bishop to witness marriages. A catechist, say, in a missionary country where there aren't enough clergy. The whole question of what is called cohabitation, that is, living with someone, having the marital act with them, someone who is not your true spouse, that would take some time to answer, but suffice it to say right now, here, that it would be a disaster, a spiritual disaster. It is a matter of crucifying God and of great spiritual harm to the children. Question 466. What are the chief effects of the sacrament of matrimony? They are, first, an increase of sanctifying grace, second, the special help of God for husband and wife to love each other faithfully, to bear with each other's faults, and to bring up their children properly. God gives married people special helps to bear the crosses of married life. He even guarantees them all the material things they need, such as food, clothing, and shelter, provided they keep his laws in marriage, trust him, and pray for their needs. So the special help here is sometimes called the grace of state, or actual grace, that enables the couple to do the things they must do in order to have a good marriage. For example, a mother, say, might find it very hard to discipline her children, but it needs to be done, so there is grace there for her to do so, if she cooperates with the grace. We could quibble somewhat with the last statement on the bottom of page 219 and say that God guarantees these things if they are needed for salvation. In other words, a man, head of a family, say, a married man with children, he might pray very hard for food and not get any or very little. This would be a terrible thing. But if temporary, even starvation, could be a path, the path to eternal salvation, then God would grant it. He would allow it, despite all the pain and the suffering that would accompany it. This is a very difficult, deep, dark mystery, as a matter of fact, that God would allow these terrible things even to children here in this earth, if by them he could acquire for us eternal joy as opposed to short and temporary pain and suffering and sadness. Question 467. What should Catholics do to prepare for a holy and a happy marriage? They should first pray that God may direct their choice. Second, seek the advice of their parents and confessors. Third, practice the virtues, especially chastity. And fourth, receive the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist. They should first seek advice from a priest to be sure that marriage is their vocation. There are three signs of a marriage vocation. First, absence of a religious vocation. If they have a religious vocation, that is a call to give God a gift even more pleasing to him than marriage. They should not prepare for marriage until they are sure that God does not have even greater plans for them. Secondly here, the qualities needed for marriage. Third, meeting a suitable partner. If a girl, for example, has no religious vocation and the only possible partner she meets are not suitable ones, such as non-Catholics or bad Catholics, then that is usually a sign of a vocation to the single state. She could marry an unsuitable partner, even though God would not prefer it, but she would find it much harder to be happy and harder even to save her soul. So first, indeed, ask that God's will be done in the choice of a mate, and not just yours. A good prayer is essential to this, asking God for the grace. Second, seek the advice. It's not a matter of obedience anymore to choose a mate. For example, in former times, and indeed in our day, there are countries that practice arranged marriages. In our society, it's not a matter of obedience that is young woman, young man, just simply being given an order to marry somebody. But nonetheless, the wise man seeketh advice, as the scriptures say in the Book of Wisdom, and so seeking the advice is very important. The third, if chastity has been practiced all along one's childhood, then that is a superb preparation for matrimony. If a lack of chastity has been practiced, then chances are the decision made for matrimony is going to be a poor one. And fourth, notice at the top there, to frequently receive penance and Holy Eucharist. It says frequently. The primary meaning of the phrase "our daily bread" refers to the Holy Eucharist. As to a religious vocation, it is not a question of should I be a priest or should I get married. It is first a question of should I be a priest or not. Same with a nun. It's not should I be a nun or should I get married. It is should I be a nun or not. If the answer is definitely no, don't have a religious vocation, then you look to marriage. And if the answer with matrimony is no, then you look to the single state. The qualities needed for marriage, they are several, such as a primary one. How is a man, say, going to support his family? Is the potential mate oriented to unselfishness, which is a key element of any vocation? Is there decent psychological equilibrium? Regarding marrying a non-Catholic, if you're open to marrying someone who is not Catholic, well, have a good talk with somebody who is married to a non-Catholic. It is a very, very difficult road to travel. Marriage is hard enough, but if you're not able to share your faith with your spouse, even on your wedding day, it's a very hard thing. You could receive communion, but your spouse could not. Or you could just skip the Mass altogether and just have the wedding, but that deprives you of Holy Communion on your wedding day, so even the very beginning of marrying somebody who is not Catholic has great difficulties, spiritual difficulties in it. Only the ordinary of a diocese, namely a bishop, can give you permission for you to marry a non-Catholic. The priest does not have that authority, so if somebody goes to the parish priest and says, I would like to have, like to marry somebody who is not Catholic, well, he can't give the permission. He has to apply to it to the diocese. And the bishop, of course, normally delegates the ability to grant that to somebody in what's called the diocesan tribunal, and the priest who is the head of it, called the judicial vicar, he can grant it. But it's still, he's only granting it by authority of the bishop. It's a serious thing to marry someone who is not Catholic, because you can't have that unity in the marriage. Question 468. How can Catholics best obtain God's blessing for their marriage? By being married at a nuptial Mass and by receiving Holy Communion devoutly. So marriage at Mass gives an abundance of grace. Marriage without Mass, there is less grace. We're now at the end of Lesson 35. And the habit to be acquired, if you are married, is to read about marriage on a regular basis. Now, if you're a priest, you need to read about the priesthood, what it is, to go deeper into the sacrament, if you will, on a regular basis. And if you're married, what does it mean to be a spouse? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a mother? Reading, increasing our knowledge about these on a regular basis is essential. Regarding prayer, this is not a daily thing, although some people do make it daily, but there is such a thing called a novena. And it comes, just the word comes from a Latin word meaning nine. And it is a particular set of prayers. You can look this up on the internet. There's a number of prayer books that have novenas in them to various saints, to our Blessed Lord. And they consist of, novenas consist of 3 days of petition, asking for a favor, 3 days of sacrifice, and 3 days of thanksgiving. So 9 days in a row, a particular devotion or prayer is said. One could, for example, just make a novena out of the Holy Rosary to offer it for 9 days continuously. You can even make one up. But there are some novenas that actually have an indulgence attached to them because they are recognized by the Church to be such a blessing. So if you need a special favor for yourself, for a loved one, for an enemy even, look to perhaps pray a novena, 9 days of prayer for that particular intention.